welcome to the Substance of Life podcast. Glad you could join us today. Today we will be continuing with our series, Your Year of Personal Change and Goal Setting. Today's episode, which is episode number 3, is Building a Coalition. And building a coalition is really simple. It is principle number 3 of the Cotter's methodology that we've talked about in the previous 2 episodes. But I like to define it just a little bit differently. And by that I mean building a coalition is nothing more than a temporary, and I'm going to emphasize that word, temporary, alliance or partnership in order to achieve your goal or your change that you're looking for. These are individuals that step into your life that have the skill sets that you're looking for, and they step out of your life. They are not to be used as a crutch. They are not to be, what's a good word for it, taken advantage of because of their time and their kindness to help you. So I want you to keep that at the forefront when you start thinking about and preparing for building your coalition of experts. So now I want to talk about the benefits as well as the disadvantages of having a coalition in your life. So the benefits, what are the benefits? Basically, the benefits are building and strengthening you. And there are some key advantages to a mentor coalition. And I'm just going to give you 3. So the first one is a coalition of mentors or subject matter experts can help you move forward with your change goals. A coalition can increase your potential for succeeding with your change goals. Number 2, a coalition can bring more expertise and resources to bear on the issue that you're trying to deal with or the goal that you are trying to achieve. Technical and personal resources that you don't happen to have. So you need to think of, hey, there are people out there that have done this or have achieved this that I really need to solicit their expertise. And lastly, the involvement of a coalition means that you'll have more people who have a better understanding of your issue and more people who are advocating on your side because they're helping you. So there are benefits to having a coalition. And when I use the term coalition, I don't want you to think about one person. I often say that you need to have, for your particular goal or your change that you're trying to look at, you need to have a minimum of 3 individuals that are out there to help you. So keep that in mind when you think about the benefits of having a coalition. Next, I want to talk about the disadvantages of working in a coalition, the bottom line. The bottom line basically is this. Deciding who and what you want in your coalition partnership is a rational and an emotional decision. Again, it needs to be rational, but oftentimes it is emotional. So when I say rational, I mean, you really need to sit down and consider whether one's effectiveness or one's ability to attain the goal that you're looking for can enhance you or harm you by participating in your coalition. And I say that because, you know, we all form friendships that may not necessarily be healthy, may not necessarily be the right friendships. And those are the things that harm us. So as you're sitting down and you've got your pen to paper and you're thinking about those individuals who might be able to help you, you want to think about the rational side of it, which is the selection of that particular individual and the skill sets that they bring to the table. I say that one of the disadvantages is that emotional element. And the reason why I say that is, you know, our emotions run high. We're enthusiastic about what it is we are trying to achieve. And, you know, you may choose a coalition member who may not be someone you like. So as you're doing the selection process, you kind of need to look at that person's values. You need to look at that person's skill set really, really closely. And then you have to determine, you know, so if this person has a skill set that I'm looking for to help me achieve my goal, but I may not necessarily like them, or I may find them irritating. I have had many people in my life who I have found to be irritating, but they possess a skill set that I need to enhance me. So I put up with the irritation for as long as I have to, and then I move on. So that's something to think about because, you know, there are disadvantages to everything. And building a coalition of subject matter experts who can help you achieve your goal or help you achieve the change that you're looking for in your particular project or life, you know, it's an emotional decision. And, you know, you need to be adult about the fact that you have an end game or a bottom line, and really liking this person should not become a part of it because it's a temporary, again, a temporary alliance or partnership. So now I want to move into the area of who should be part of your coalition, who should be part of your mentorship coalition. And again, you know, I advise you to sit down with a pen and paper, or, you know, nowadays we use our iPhones, and think about it, because it's important to understand a mentor or a person of interest may not be someone you're infatuated with. Your compatibility link to this person is the skill set or the assistance you need to help you with your goal. Keep it strictly business, keep it black and white. It's important that you look at your mentor's character, style, culture, and the type of limited relationship that you want to have with them to meet your change goal. And I know that's a whole lot, so I'm going to just say it over again. You need to look at the compatibility link of the people whom you select to become members of your coalition. It's important that you look at their character style, their culture style, and the type of limited relationship you want to have with them to meet your goals or the type of change you want to see. Next, you want to look at the type of mentorship coalition you want to have with them. And I put those into two categories. It's either going to be a formal or an informal relationship. So these individuals are charged with helping you carry out your goals and educate you on how to meet those goals. So again, it's either going to be a formal relationship or an informal relationship. And, you know, you have to be able to identify these individual members, or I'm going to call them potential individual members, because they are potential. You put their name on a list and they may or may not decide to help you. So at this stage, you want to be able to identify the most important potential coalition members on your list, especially if your coalition members have a narrow perspective, meaning they only have one skill set to offer, and they have limitations on their time. You want to look at, are these individuals who can help you achieve your goal that you cannot do without? So it's important to identify them and target them specifically. And what do I mean by this? For example, If your change goal involves savings or a financial element, you really can't do without having conversations with someone who's involved in the banking industry, such as your banking representative at your personal bank. And if it is your banking representative at your personal bank, this is an excellent example of a formal relationship, because you're really only going to see that person when you walk through the door of the bank. And they're going to keep it very formal because it is their job. These are the things that you need to keep in mind if you're going to have that formal relationship. Another example would be if your change goal is to achieve weight loss of any type, or healthier dieting and healthier eating, you would then go and enlist the assistance of a weight loss institution or a personal trainer. This is also a formal relationship. Why? Because 9 times out of 10, you're paying these people to help and assist you. And you have to look at it from that perspective. So a formal mentorship or coalition might involve a formal courtship. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but a formal courtship involves paying someone or taking someone's personal time and expertise. And the courtship involves either payment for a service that they're providing, or you might have to do a dinner or a lunch or a brunch. In other words, you know, you're footing the bill to court them to get their information, or to have a surrounding where you can't be interrupted and you're getting the full brunt of their time. These things are important when you are forming a formal relationship. And I'm not going to emphasize the informal relationship, because informal relationships have a lot of latitude. It's those formal relationships where we really, really have to work towards, and we really have to give thought to, because like I said, they involve money. 9 times out of 10, they involve money. So I would encourage you to make a list of people who you would like to become part of your coalition of mentors, or part of your coalition of subject matter experts, whose sole purpose is to help you achieve your goal. So as you're writing down their names, I want you to also include their skill sets and what they bring to the table and what you feel they will add to your success of achieving your goal. So we basically talked about the advantages and the disadvantages and formal relationships and informal relationships and making a list of individuals that we feel would bring that element to the table to help us achieve our goal. So next is, how do we go about recruiting these individuals? How do we go about soliciting these individuals? Well, you know, now that you have selected a list of core people whom you feel might meet your needs and can help you achieve your goals, it's time to start that solicitation process. You need to begin the recruitment element, which involves getting their attention and asking them for help. And, you know, there are obviously a number of ways to contact people. I always suggest that you find out the preference of your potential mentor. It could be a face-to-face meeting, it could be a phone call, it could be emails, it could be a personal letter. But you kind of need to find out what they like. For example, I had a young lady that I was dealing with, and she only liked to be contacted via text. I'm not a texter. I'd rather pick up the phone and call you. But she did not answer your phone calls. Her preference was texting. So guess what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to text her. So it's important to look at the preference of your potential mentor. How do they like to be contacted? And then you move ahead accordingly. I always tell people that, you know, for formal relationships, it's always best to contact someone personally. And personal tends to be either a face-to-face or a phone call. Most people are likely to be recruited by phone. I mean, that's just a statistic that's out there. But be sure to ask those you talk to for suggestions about how they like to be contacted. So what happens if you contact some potential mentors and, you know, they kind of say, hey, you know, I don't have the time, or I'd love to help you, but these are my constraints. At that point, you're going to kind of get a feeling if they can help you or they can't. But in the case that they can't help you, be sure to ask them for suggestions about other potential coaches or mentors or subject matter experts who have similar skills if they decline your invitation. Because again, this is an invitation. It is a two-way relationship. They can say yes or no. But if they say no, don't become devastated by it. You know, your comeback is, hey, do you know anyone else that might be in a position to help me that has your similar skill set that you can recommend or that you can introduce? You'd be surprised, because a lot of times when people don't have the time, they are more than happy to suggest someone else who might be in a position to help you. So moving on, you know, you got to ask, and I've been asked, what makes a good mentor? Well, members of your coalitions are people who are enthusiastic and will enjoy the limited time that you have together. A good mentor or a good coalition member will be positive, and they will take positive ownership in you achieving your goal. They will be excited to be a member of your team, but more importantly, they will be willing to help you get the results that you're looking for. So a good coalition member or a good mentor or subject matter expert will create a strategy that fits your needs, your talents, and your desires, and they will push you towards a better you, not towards a clone of themselves. And, you know, that's really, really important, because I want you to envision, you know, that adult woman who's got that business suit on, and then there's that little girl who looks exactly like her with that same business suit on. That's a clone, smaller version of a clone. You don't want that, because you come to the table with your individuality. So one of the elements of a good coalition member or a good mentor is that they are going to create a strategy that fits your needs, talents, skills, and desires to help push you towards that better you. You know, there are qualities you might want to consider when, you know, you determine if this person is going to be a good coalition member or when reviewing your list of candidates. And I am going to share that with you. So, you know, you want to be able to look at, can you trust this person? Is this person trustworthy? Because if you can't trust them or trust the fact that what you're telling them is in confidence, you know, that relationship might not work. And, you know, trust does go both ways. And I say that because as you build your relationship, they're going to trust you as well. So the element of trust is mutual, and you want to be able to make sure that you establish ground rules at the beginning. to avoid any conflicts of character, any conflicts of morals, so that as you move forward with your next couple of sessions, you learn each other and you learn each other's communication styles. And once you have that solid level of trust, you'll be able to really move rapidly towards your goal. Next, we want to see if that coalition member or that mentor fits you. You may have many people to choose from when you are shopping around for a mentor, a subject matter expert. This can be similar to shopping for a shirt, and I'm just going to be real with you. If you find a style that you like, the one that fits might be at the middle of the pile, or it might be the last one that you look at. So many people, you know, try to manipulate you over your life and your career, and they try to become an influencer and develop you into the way that they work or the way that they think. That may not fit your style. Again, a good mentor, subject matter expert, or coalition member will create a strategy that fits your needs, your talents, your skills, your desires, and push you forward towards a better you and not a clone of them. The next item, item number three, is a mentor encourages you to step out of your comfort zone. So all people have a zone which they operate and live within. They're comfortable and they're able to excel in their own personal zone. But to grow and possibly to meet your goals and your change, you might need to step out of that comfort zone. You might need to be able to have a new experience, and you might be able to learn something a little bit new. So a good mentor, coalition, or subject matter expert is capable of identifying your comfort zone and developing steps to help you achieve within your goals that will force you to become comfortable outside of your goals. And, you know, I have a personal example of that. I really did not feel comfortable when I was in a room with all men engineers, being the only female. And I don't know why, I never understood why, but I had a mentor explain to me, "Angela, I recognize this is outside of your comfort zone, but what you bring to the table is what you have to keep in the forefront. The value that you bring is superior. You keep thinking about that as you're talking or explaining theory or methodology to anyone." And it's funny because I kept thinking about what she said, and I kept thinking about my comfort zone and what she said and my comfort zone. And it got to the point that, you know, I had to step out of that comfort zone. I had to say, "Hey, look, just go ahead and say it. Say what you need to say. Yeah, they're going to disagree with you because you're a woman. They disagree with their wives. So that's just natural behavior for them. But don't allow that to stop you from moving forward." And I will say this, it has served me well. The next important characteristic that you need to look at that makes up a good mentor or a coalition member is item number four. Are they an active listener? So a good coalition member or subject matter expert or mentor needs to be able to listen to what you are saying. They should be involved in the conversation, prompting you for clarity or more information. And if that doesn't happen, if they're not listening, then you might need to evaluate, do they need to be on your list? They shouldn't be distracted when you are trying to talk to them. A person that is always allowing themselves to be interrupted by phone calls, emails, or other people walking by, when they're having a session with you, that's not the right person for you. Because they're not valuing your time. So you may have to cut them off. A good mentor or coalition member will not have any distractions when you're talking to them. Because their main goal is to focus on you and your conversation. They will be active listeners and they will ask questions. They may give you assignments. They may say, hey, you know what? I need you to do this so that when we meet next time, you'll have an answer. Lastly, a good coalition member, mentor, or subject matter expert will be an expert in their field. They're not just, you know, respectful, enthusiastic people. They are people that know their craft. They are people that know their craft and have the ability to share their level of excellence as part of the guidance to get you to where you want to be. So when you choose your mentor, you need to know that, yeah, they're respected by their peers, but they're also experts in their field. They might be well known in the particular industry or under the umbrella of the goal that you're trying to achieve, but they're experts in their field. So you have to think about those five things when you make your list of what a good mentor or coalition member should be. I know that's a lot to think about, and I recognize that it is, but I want you to think about if you are developing a coalition that is designed to support you and help you move to that next goal or a change or level, it's incumbent upon you to choose the right people in your life. They're there. You just have to screen them and make sure that they're going to fit your goals and objectives for change in 2020. So this is Angela at the Substance of Life podcast. I enjoyed sharing this particular episode with you. I hope that you got something out of it. And if you want to share, go ahead and drop us a post at the bottom of our webpage. And we look forward to hearing about the positive change in goals in your substance of life.